Good morning.
Morning.
We're going to start out in Deuteronomy chapter 10 this morning. Verse 12. And now, Israel, what doth the Lord thy God require of thee, but to fear the Lord thy God, to walk in all his ways, and to love him, and to serve the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, to keep the commandments of the Lord, and his statutes which I command thee this day for thy good. So what is the goal of keeping the commandments of the Lord? God's goal for you is your good.
Right.
Go down to chapter 11. Therefore, why for? Because the Lord's looking out for your good. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God, and keep his charge, and his statutes, and his judgments, and his commandments, alway. And know ye this day, for I speak not with your children, which have not known, and which have not seen, the chastisement of the Lord your God, his greatness, his mighty hands, and his stretched out arms, and his miracles, and his acts which he did in the midst of Egypt, unto Pharaoh the king of Egypt, and unto all his land, and what he did unto the army of Egypt, unto their horses, and to their chariots, how he made the waters of the Red Sea to overflow them as they pursued after you, and how the Lord hath destroyed them unto this day, and what he did unto you in the wilderness until ye came into this place, and what he did unto Dathan and Abiram, the sons of Eliab, the son of Reuben, how the earth opened her mouth and swallowed them up, and their households and their tents and all the substance that was in their possession in the midst of all Israel. But your eyes have seen all the great acts of the Lord which he did. Therefore shall ye keep all the commandments which I command you this day, that ye may be strong and go in and possess the land whither ye go to possess it, that ye may prolong your days in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers to give unto them and to their seed, a land that floweth with milk and honey. Now take note. He's not talking to the heathen. He's not talking to the ignorant. He's talking to the people who have seen and the people who know.
Right.
And that's who I want to talk to this morning. I'm not talking to the world out there that hasn't heard God's message. I want to talk to the people who have heard, to the people who do know what is expected of them. For the land whither thou goest to possess it is not as the land of Egypt, from whence ye came out, where thou sowest thy seed and waterest it with thy foot, as a garden of herbs. For the land whither ye go to possess, it is a land of hills and valleys, and drinketh water of the rain of heaven. A land which the Lord thy God careth for. The eyes of the Lord thy God are always upon it, from the beginning of the year even unto the end of the year. And it shall come to pass, if ye shall hearken diligently unto my commandments, which I command you this day, to love the Lord your God, and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul, that I will give you the rain of your land in his due season, the first rain and the latter rain, that thou mayest gather in thy corn and thy wine and thine oil. And I will send grass in thy fields for thy cattle, that thou mayest eat and be full. Take heed to yourselves, that your heart be not deceived, and ye turn aside and serve other gods and worship them. And then the Lord's wrath be kindled against you, and he shut up the heaven, that there be no rain, and that the land yield not her fruit, lest ye perish quickly from off the good land which the Lord giveth you. Therefore shall ye lay up these my words in your heart, and in your soul, and bind them for a sign upon your hand, that they may be as frontlets between your eyes. And ye shall teach them your children, speaking of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. And thou shalt write them upon the doorposts of thine house and upon thy gates, that your days may be multiplied, and the days of your children in the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers, to give them as the days of heaven upon earth. Doesn't that sound good? As the days of heaven upon earth. This is what God's view is of what He's planning to give them.
Amen.
For if ye shall diligently keep all these commandments which I command you to do them, to love the Lord your God, to walk in all His ways, and to cleave unto Him, then will the Lord drive out all these nations from before you, and ye shall possess greater nations and mightier than yourselves. Every place whereon the soles of your feet shall tread shall be yours, from the wilderness and Lebanon, from the river Euphrates, even unto the uttermost sea shall your coast be. There shall no man be able to stand before you, for the Lord your God shall lay the fear of you and the dread of you upon all the land that ye shall tread upon, as he hath said unto you. Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if you obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day, and a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day, to go after other gods which ye have not known. I want to talk this morning about a blessing and a curse. Maybe to help people stay awake, to help with an illustration, I brought a couple bottles along. This bottle here, I took the label off, but the label said apple mango. 100% juice, calories were 120. 120% of your daily value of vitamin C, 4% of your daily value of iron. It's good stuff. This refreshing looking blue stuff here is windshield washer fluid. The label on that says danger, poison. May be fatal or cause blindness if swallowed. Vapor harmful. Cannot be made non-poisonous. Flammable. Read other cautions on back panel carefully. Go to Deuteronomy chapter 28. Look at the blessing and the curse. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Lord thy God will set thee on high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God. Blessed shalt thou be in the city, and blessed shalt thou be in the field. Blessed shall be the fruit of thy body, and the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kine, and the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed shall be thy basket and thy store. Blessed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and blessed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall cause thine enemies that rise up against thee to be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee before thee seven ways. The Lord shall command the blessing upon thee in thy storehouses, and in all that thou settest thine hand unto, and he shall bless thee in the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. The Lord shall establish thee in holy people unto himself, as he hath sworn unto thee, if thou shalt keep the commandments of the Lord thy God, and walk in his ways. And all the people of the earth shall see that thou art called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of thee. Now, the first part of that verse is your responsibility.
Right.
You can take that on yourself. The name of the Lord, and people can see you're called by the name of the Lord. But notice the last part of that verse, and they shall be afraid of you. Only God can do that
right.
Part. Mm-hmm. And the Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, and in the fruit of thy cattle, and in the fruit of thy ground, in the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. The Lord shall open unto thee his good treasure, the heaven, to give the rain unto the land in his season, and to bless all the work of thine hand. And thou shalt lend unto many nations, and thou shalt not borrow. And the Lord shall make thee the head, and not the tail, and thou shalt be above only, and thou shalt not be beneath. if that thou hearken unto the commandments of the Lord thy God, which I commanded thee this day, to observe and to do them. And thou shalt not go aside from any of the words which I command thee this day, to the right hand or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. But it shall come to pass, if thou wilt not hearken unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to observe to do all his commandments and his statutes which I command thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city, and cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shall be thy basket and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body and the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when thou comest in, and cursed shalt thou be when thou goest out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, rebuke, in all that thou settest thine hand unto for to do, until thou be destroyed, and until thou perish quickly because of the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. Notice why. Because you've forsaken God. The Lord shall make the pestilence cleave unto thee until he have consumed thee from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. The Lord shall smite thee with a consumption, and with a fever, and with an inflammation, and with an extreme burning, and with the sword, and with blasting, with mildew. And they shall pursue thee until thou perish. Thy heaven that is over thy head shall be brass, and the earth that is under thee shall be iron. The Lord shall make the rain of thy land powder, and the dust from heaven. It shall come down upon thee until thou be destroyed. Oftentimes God withholding the rain and causing a famine was God's way of reproving them for their wickedness. And think of what we heard last week about Elimelech fleeing to Moab. When God is reproving his people, you flee.
Good. Yes.
The Lord shall cause thee to be smitten before thine enemies. Thou shalt go out one way against them and flee seven ways before them. Thou shalt be removed into all the kingdoms of the earth, and thy carcass shall be meat unto all fowls of the air, and unto the beasts of the earth, and no man shall fray them away. The Lord will smite thee with the botch of Egypt, with the emerods, and with the scab, and with the itch, whereof thou canst not be healed. The Lord shall smite thee with madness, and blindness, and astonishment of heart, and thou shalt grope at noonday as the blind gropeth in the darkness. And thou shalt not prosper in thy ways, and thou shalt be only oppressed and spoiled evermore, and no man shall save thee. Thou shalt betroth a wife, and another man shall lie with her. Thou shalt build an house, and thou shalt not dwell therein. Thou shalt plant a vineyard, and shalt not gather the grapes thereof. Thine ox shall be slain before thine eyes, and thou shalt not eat thereof. Thine ass shall be violently taken away from before thy face, and shalt not be restored to thee. Thy sheep shall be given unto thine enemies, and thou shalt have none to rescue them. Thy sons and thy daughters shall be given unto another people, and thine eyes shall look and fail with the longing for them all the day long, and there shall be no might in thine hand. The fruit of thy land and all thy labor shall a nation which thou knowest not eat up, and thou shalt be only oppressed and crushed alway, so that thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes which thou shalt see. Think about it. What would this be like to be chained up? There's nothing you can do. And someone can take your family before your eyes and do whatever pleases them. Thou shalt be mad for the sight of thine eyes. Think of Zedekiah. He was captured by the Babylonians. He's bound in a chain, and they slay his sons before him and then put out his eyes. What a curse. The Lord shall smite thee in the knees and in the legs with a sore botch that cannot be healed, from the sole of thy foot under the top of thy head. The Lord shall bring thee and thy king which thou shalt set over thee unto a nation which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, and there shalt thou serve other gods, wood and stone. Thou shalt become an astonishment and a proverb, a byword among all nations whither the Lord shall lead thee. Thou shalt carry much seed out into the field, and shalt gather but little in, for the locust shall consume it. Thou shalt plant vineyards and dress them, but shalt neither drink of the wine nor gather the grapes, for the worms shall eat them. Thou shalt have olive trees throughout all thy coasts, but thou shalt not anoint thyself with the oil, for thine olive shall cast his fruit. Thou shalt beget sons and daughters, but thou shalt not enjoy them, for they shall go into captivity. All thy trees, the fruit of thy land, shall the locust consume. The stranger that is within thee shall get up above thee very high, and thou shalt come down very low. He shall lend to thee, and thou shalt not lend to him. He shall be the head, and thou shalt be the tail. Moreover, all these curses shall come upon thee, and shall pursue thee, and overtake thee, till thou be destroyed, because thou hearkenest not unto the voice of the Lord thy God, to keep his commandments and his statutes which he commanded thee. And they shall be upon thee for a sign, for a wonder, and upon thy seed forever. Because thou servest not the Lord thy God with joyfulness and with gladness of heart for the abundance of all things. Therefore shalt thou serve thine enemies, which the Lord shall send against thee, in hunger, and in thirst, and in nakedness, and in want of all things, and he shall put a yoke of iron upon thy neck, until he have destroyed thee. The Lord shall bring a nation against thee from far, from the end of the earth, as swift as the eagle flieth, a nation whose tongue thou shalt not understand, a nation of fierce countenance, which shall not regard the person of the old, nor show favor to the young. And he shall eat the fruit of thy cattle and the fruit of thy land until thou be destroyed, which also shall not leave thee either corn or wine or oil, or the increase of thy kine or flocks of thy sheep until he have destroyed thee. What nation is there on this earth that you wouldn't want to live under? What government? But what if that was forced on you? What if they conquered you and you didn't have a choice? What a curse. Go on down to verse 63. And it shall come to pass that the Lord, as the Lord rejoiced over you, to do you good and to multiply you, so the Lord will rejoice over you to destroy you and to bring you to naught, and you shall be plucked from off the land whither thou goest to possess it. Who wants to have God looking over you in such a way? And the Lord shall scatter thee among all people, from the one end of the earth even unto the other. And there thou shalt serve other gods, which neither thou nor thy fathers have known, even wood and stone. And among these nations shalt thou find no ease, neither shall the sole of thy foot have rest. For the Lord shall give thee there a trembling heart, and failing of eyes, and sorrow of mind. Thy life shall hang in doubt before thee. Thou shalt fear day and night, and shall have none assurance of thy life. In the morning thou shalt say, Would God it were even. And at even thou shalt say, Would God it were morning. For the fear of thine heart, wherewith thou shalt fear, and for the sight of thine eyes, which thou shalt see. I set before you this day a blessing and a curse.
Wow.
So let's look at the curse. A little different curse. Shortly after I was burned, somebody stopped in to visit me. And he asked a question. He said, Can you imagine what hell is like? You know, I really wasn't burned all that bad. But turn over to Luke chapter 16. We're going to kind of break in the middle of the parable of the rich man and Lazarus. In verse 22, And it came to pass that the beggar died, and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. He said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. Adam Clark had an interesting comment here. He said, Many are desirous to see an inhibition of the other world and converse with him in order to know what passes there. Make way! Here is a damned soul which Jesus Christ has evoked from the hell of fire. Hear him! Hear him tell of his torments! Hear him utter his regrets! But we cannot see him. No, God has in his mercy spared you for the present this punishment. How could you bear the sight of this damned spirit? Your very nature would fail at the appearance. Jesus keeps him, as it were, behind the curtain and holds a conversation with him in your hearing, which you have neither faith nor courage sufficient to hold with him yourself. Keep in mind that you can't see hell because you wouldn't be able to handle it. There's other reasons too. But this man had all he needed. If the Moses and the prophets were sufficient for his brothers, then Moses and the prophets were sufficient for him.
Right.
If they had it, then he had it. He was offered a blessing. He received a curse. Let's look at two things that this man was concerned about. What was on the top of his mind when he was in hell? Number one was his present torment. I'm tormented in this flame. Hell is often mentioned as being a fire or a flame or a pit. It's mentioned as going down to hell. What is it like to be burned? To be in a fire? You know, if you sear your finger, the skin gets hard. But if it continues to burn, it begins to blister and to peel. And there's raw flesh underneath. Probably most of us know what it feels like to be burned. But what would it be like to be continually burned? To be completely engulfed in the flame? You would wish so bad that you could just cease to exist. But that would be impossible. Remember Moses when he saw this bush that burned and wasn't consumed. To be perpetually on fire, but never consumed. Like being eaten alive. Adam Clark also mentioned, he said, if a soul could reconcile itself to hell, then hell would cease to be a punishment.
Yeah.
In other words, the fact that hell is eternal punishment means you can never reconcile yourself to the fact that this is where you are. This is what you're going to be. Your senses are never dulled. If you were burned, eventually the pain would go away. You would die. you would cease to live. But in hell you can't, because you're already dead. In Revelations 9:1, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth. To him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. You think this is just a joke? In verse 6, and in those days shall men seek death, and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. And in Revelation 14:10 it says, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation. And he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angels and in the presence of the Lamb. And the smoke of their torment ascendeth up forever and ever, and they have no rest, day nor night, who worship the beast in his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. You know, the image of an atomic explosion comes to mind. You see the billows of black smoke, and inside you see the flames like a ball of fire. What would it be like to live in that? You know, some of the sermons I remember the best from my childhood were the ones about hell. Mm-hmm. But consider it. Men looking for death. Normally, people want to live. But this is... death would be preferable. They wish they could cease to exist. But it's beyond reach. The second thing that he was concerned about was the future of his brothers.
Right.
Why didn't he take care of that in this life? Mm-hmm. Why didn't he set a good example? Why didn't he show them? Why didn't he tell them, listen to Moses and the prophets? He probably had other things to do.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it wasn't very long ago. My toes got stepped on. I realized I needed to take care of something. So I had to go apologize and make things right with one of my younger siblings for something done years ago. I don't want that on my record on Judgment Day.
No.
I don't want it to send me to hell, nor do I want it to take them there. I have to make sure the example is set right.
Amen.
While I still can. Someday the chance is going to be gone. But I still wish I had done it. I had to make sure that they understand I don't approve of now of what I did then. We realize that we carry some of the responsibility for our siblings with us into eternity. Mm. And it's going to be a torment to those in hell to know that they're coming too. Mark chapter 9, verse 42. Whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. What do you think his chances of surviving are? Not very good. But there's coming a time he'd wish he could die. And if thy hand offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter into life maimed than having two hands to go into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thy foot offend thee, cut it off. It is better for thee to enter halt into life than having 2 feet to be cast into hell, into the fire that never shall be quenched, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. And if thine eye offend thee, pluck it out. It is better for thee to enter into the kingdom of God with one eye, than having 2 eyes to be cast into hell fire, where their worm dieth not, and the fire is not quenched. Here it also mentions worms. And what comes to my mind? What's called screw worms or maggots. What the flies leave behind. Something dies and the flies come and they lay their eggs in it. They hatch and the worms begin to eat it. It's a disgusting sight and an odious smell. What would that be like in hell? So you're burning, your skin's peeling, and the worms begin to eat it. You're being eaten alive. Life's pretty short. Eternity is a long time, so to speak. Think of another thing. We all know what it's like to live with a guilty conscience. To say, I've got to get this cleared up. I can't live like this anymore. And then we know the freedom of when your conscience is clear. It's like, oh, yes. You know, when you can come to God in prayer and you say, Lord, you know I love you, and you know it's true.
Amen.
What a joy. We also know that if we resist our conscience, the conviction, our conscience will become dull. But what if, at death, God ripped the band-aid off, and you find yourself for eternity with a condemned conscience, with the guilty feeling, knowing I got to make this right, but the chance is gone. Mm-hmm. Now you're stuck for eternity that way. And the more you dulled your conscience, the more you fought, the greater your condemnation. That person you just, you couldn't bring yourself to go apologize to. Now you wish so bad you could. Mm. That offense that, you were just too ashamed to own up to. It's still there. It's bigger than ever. Everybody knows about it. And the chance of making it right is gone. You know, I've had to go back and apologize to people who were wrong. Because I had to get something cleared up. In the end, they may still be wrong. But I've cleared myself. In the end, they may still be headed for hell. But at least they're not following me there.
Amen.
I have to do my part and let that up to them.
Good.
Let's look at the blessing. Revelations chapter 22, verse 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. And he said unto me, these sayings are faithful and true. And the Lord God of the holy prophets sent his angel to show unto his servants the things which must shortly be done. Behold, I come quickly. Blessed is he that keepeth the sayings of the prophecy of this book.
Amen.
I want to be there.
Amen.
No more curse, no sickness, no pain, no toil, no sweat. The battle's over. Victory's done. You won. You come out on the right side. Peace and joy and rejoicing. No more battles with sin and self. No slander, no lying, no rejection, persecution. The joy of knowing you were right it was worth it all. Luke 12:32. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. This is what God has in mind for you.
Yes.
Just like the blessing He had in mind for the children of Israel. Sell that you have and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And John 14:2, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. God has nothing but good in mind for those who serve Him. At the time appointed of God, Christ will return. Oh, the joy, the excitement. Knowing you've done right, you've tried to please Him, and this is the hour of your reward, your deliverance. This is what you've hoped and waited all your life for. The greater the zeal, the greater the diligence, the more joy and excitement
Amen.
You can expect.
Yes. Yes.
Jeremiah 2:12. Be astonished at this, O heavens, and be horribly afraid. Be ye very desolate, saith the Lord, for my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and hewed them out cisterns, broken cisterns that can hold no water. They turned away from the blessing to receive a curse.
Yeah.
So what fountain are you drinking from this morning? Fountain of life? Or are you drinking poison? Let's take a look at why people miss the blessing of God. With such a wonderful blessing and such an awful curse, why wouldn't everybody get the blessing? If the rich man in hell had everything he needed in his life, why did he go to hell? By despising the blessing of God, you forfeit the blessing of God.
Right.
And I would say it happens in two ways. It's either willful rebellion or carelessness. I've seen many times where a father has labored to build up a business. He's diligent with his money. He's careful. He takes care of his customers. It may be a farm. He's diligent with the farm, managing things. He knows how to invest wisely. Then he turns things over to his son. The son, oh, he's going to show you how to run a business. He gets a hold of the checkbook and starts writing checks. And next thing you know, it's like, where did it all go? Remember Solomon and Rehoboam? Solomon builds up this magnificent buildings in Jerusalem. Great wisdom from God. And he leaves it to Rehoboam, and Rehoboam loses 10 tribes before he's hardly even started. Remember the prodigal son, give me the portion of goods that falleth to me. And then he goes and wastes it. To this day, I still have not got done kicking myself for foolishness. Shortly after I turned 18, I wanted to exercise my new privileges. So I went out and bought a pack of cigarettes. Now, the fact that my parents didn't know about it, did that make them non-addictive? Did it make them non-poisonous? No. You see, they were poisonous by nature.
Yes, right. Mm-hmm.
My attitude was poison. I want to try my privileges. I want to see what I can do. Why? Your life was lacking something before? You know, it wasn't peer pressure. I didn't have other people pushing me to do it. It was just an experiment. For what? Just drink poison and see if it kills you? Mm-hmm. Maybe that stuff's not actually poison after all. What if I'd have got addicted? You know, cigarettes associate you with a crowd. That association can kill you. The financial burden of that addiction would have probably made it impossible for me to have a wife and family. The health, it can wreck your health. What's the point? I should have got a good whipping for that. God would have been perfectly just to turn me over to an addiction, and I would have had no one to blame but myself. My parents set me up for a blessing, and I was out shopping for a curse. Like it says in 2 Peter 2:22, it happened according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit. But I wasn't raised in it. This wasn't my vomit. I was lapping up the vomit of another.
Oh, come on.
You know, it is the same way for anyone who their parents raise in a good moral environment.
Come on.
They bring them out from the world, out from the muck, and you raise them separate. And they're looking over at the world.
Yeah.
Sniffing for somebody else's vomit.
Come on.
To lap up.
Amen.
You know, I knew Christ was coming back, but somehow I didn't really want it to be very soon. I wasn't ready for it. And it really grieves me when I think about it. Somebody else is going to be in that stage when Christ comes back.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be me, and it doesn't have to be you. I didn't get stuck there, but someone else may. Even just being there is dangerous. And I look back, why didn't I get addicted? Why didn't I get hooked on it? Well, I think there's two reasons. Number one, I never really sold myself out to rebellion. I still held back. Yeah, I wanted to play around a little, but I didn't really want to be that way. And number two, my parents were praying for me. Even though I don't think they knew what all I was going through, they knew there was problems. And I think because of their prayers, God was merciful and added more conviction. I don't know if I even finished the pack out. It was just an experiment. They really weren't all that good. You know, it is humbling to think about it. I'm here today because of somebody else. Had it not been for my parents praying for me, that may have been the end of my spiritual life, right there. Beware of the poison of thinking you're your own man. If you get over it, you may find you were saved by somebody else.
Yeah.
Let's look at another one. I remember my mother making a comment about a young lady. She said, she's pretty. She knows it. The poison of thinking, aren't I something? Aren't I pretty special? She gets used to being the pretty girl. She wants other people to see her as a pretty girl. She gets caught up in being the pretty girl, and she's more concerned about being the pretty girl and how she looks than what God sees.
Right.
Poison. So she gets married. That's what she wanted, right? She has a child. She has another child. Child number three is on the way. There's a pile of wash to be done. The dishes are dirty. Someone's got to cook supper. She doesn't feel very pretty. Then what? You know, we had a neighbor who was on her third husband. She said she just wanted to be happy. I think maybe she just wanted to be pretty again. If she's trying to please God, you've got two children, you've got another one on the way, you're taking care of the wash and the dishes and cooking supper. Wow, you're really doing something. Isn't that where you want to be? So when someone sees the pretty girl attitude in you and says, that's poison, they didn't make it poison. It was poison by nature.
Amen. Amen.
That's right.
Now a young man can do the same thing with his image. You know, I remember coming to the realization as a young man that what she does with her dress is what he does with his car. She's trying to get attention. He's trying to get attention. There's the cowboy image, the hunter image. You know, okay, we understand hunters wear camouflage because they don't want to be seen. And then they show up wearing camouflage because they want everybody to know what they are.
Yeah.
You can get attached to that.
Right. Yep. Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, now there's practical purposes for wearing things. But who you dress like is probably who you are trying to emulate.
That's right.
Yes, that's right.
It's who you're trying to be like. If you dress like a cowboy, you're probably trying to act like a cowboy. Just who do you think your peers are? Is it the cowboy or the hunters? Is it your co-workers? Or is it the people from church?
Come on.
Come on.
When you look out at the world's attitudes, styles, mindsets, pursuits, it's poison.
That's right. Yes.
And you can't just mix a little bit of that in with Christianity and it'll become non-poisonous. No, it's poisonous by nature.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Let's go to Jeremiah chapter 38. In verse 14. Then Zedekiah the king sent and took Jeremiah the prophet unto him into the third entry that is in the house of the Lord. And the king said unto Jeremiah, I will ask thee a thing, hide nothing from me. Then Jeremiah said unto Zedekiah, if I declare it unto thee, wilt thou not surely put me to death? And if I give thee counsel, wilt thou not hearken unto me? So Zedekiah the king sware secretly unto Jeremiah, saying, as the Lord liveth that made us this soul, I will not put thee to death, neither will I give thee into the hand of those that seek thy life. Then said Jeremiah unto Zedekiah, thus saith the Lord, the God of hosts, the God of Israel, if thou wilt assuredly go forth unto the king of Babylon's princes, then thy soul shall live, and this city shall not be burned with fire, and thou shalt live in thine house. But if thou wilt not go forth to the king of Babylon's princes, then shall this city be given into the hand of the Chaldeans, and they shall burn it with fire, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand. And Zedekiah the king said unto Jeremiah, I am afraid of the Jews that are fallen to the Chaldeans, lest they deliver me into their hand, and they mock me. But Jeremiah said, they shall not deliver thee. Obey, I beseech thee, the voice of the Lord, which I spake unto thee. So it shall be well with thee, and thy soul shall live. But if thou refuse to go forth, this is the word that the Lord has showed me. And behold, all the women that are left in the king of Judah's house shall be brought forth to the king of Babylon's princes, And these women shall say, thy friends have set thee on, and have prevailed against thee. Thy feet are sunk in the mire, and they are turned away back. So they shall bring out all thy wives and thy children to the Chaldeans, and thou shalt not escape out of their hand, but shalt be taken by the hand of the king of Babylon, and thou shalt cause this city to be burned with fire. Go down to chapter 39. In the ninth year of Zedekiah, the king of Judah, in the tenth month, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, and all his army against Jerusalem, and they besieged it. And in the 11th year of Zedekiah, in the fourth month, the ninth day of the month, the city was broken up. And all the princes of the king of Babylon came in and sat in the middle gate, even Nergal-Sharezer, Shamgar-Nebo, Shir-Siachim, Rabsaris, Nergal-Sharezer, Rabmag, and all the residue of the princes of the king of Babylon. Then it came to pass that when Zedekiah the king of Judah saw them, and all the men of war, then they fled and went forth out of the city by night, by way of the king's garden, by the gate betwixt the two walls. And he went out the way of the plain. But the Chaldeans' army pursued after them, and overtook Zedekiah in the plains of Jericho. And when they had taken him, they brought him up to Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, to Riblah, in the land of Hamath, where he gave judgment upon him. Then the king of Babylon slew the sons of Zedekiah in Riblah before his eyes. Also the king of Babylon slew all the nobles of Judah. Moreover, he put out Zedekiah's eyes and bound him with chains to carry him to Babylon. Oh, how Zedekiah wished he had listened. Oh, if I'd only... I was told what to do. If I'd have just done it. But it was just too much.
Yeah.
It was just too humiliating to surrender. You know, he had rebelled against the king of Babylon. But it was too humiliating to get over his rebellion. They might mock me. What are people going to say? So he lost everything he had. His city, his family, his eyes. He was offered a blessing, but he received a curse. Beware of the poison of what will people think.
Yeah.
They might mock me. That's poison by its very nature.
Yes.
So if people mock you, would that be as bad as spending eternity in hell?
No.
Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. And Jacob sawed pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, behold, I am at the point to die, and what profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. And Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage of lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright. Hebrews 12:16 says, lest there be any fornicator or profane person at Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright. For ye know how that afterward, when he would have inherited the blessing, he was rejected, for he found no place of repentance, though he sought it carefully with tears. Mm. Beware of the poison of carelessness. Mm-hmm. What good is it doing me now? What good is that preacher preaching at me doing? Hopefully it's doing something.
Amen.
And then there comes a time when you wish so bad that you could go back and do things over again. You know, even if it doesn't cost you your soul, every little bit of rebellion costs you something.
Yes, right. Right.
Remember, it's danger, poison. may be fatal or cause blindness if swallowed. Cannot be made non-poisonous, even if your parents don't know about it. So are you playing with something flammable? You know, I'm thankful that by the time I turned 21, I'd learned something. By the time I was out on my own, I'd learned something. You don't have to try it to find out.
Amen.
Is there a little bit of rebellion in there? A little bit of, I'm my own man, I can do as I want. A little bit of pretty girl. It'll cost too much, or who cares? That'll kill you. May cost you your life. Or it may cause blindness. You may become dead and not even know it.
Come on.
Vapor is harmful. You know, even if you're not part of the world, just inhaling too much of society can harm you.
Right.
Right.
The books you read are magazines.
Come
There's
on.
Attitudes in there.
Yeah. Yep.
It cannot be made non-poisonous. The world, by its very nature, is at enmity with God, including all of it.
Yes, right.
Even its mindsets and attitudes. And it's flammable. It will burn you. Now it also said, read other cautions carefully. This sermon and the things I mentioned are not an exhaustive list.
Right.
Study carefully for your own safety.
Amen.
Amen.
What fountain are you drinking from? 1 Corinthians 10:16 says, the cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? The bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? And down in verse 21, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partaker of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than He? You can't mix Christ in the world. You can't take a worldly attitude or style, the pride, the self-preservation, and just pursue it in a Christian way.
That's right.
Our goal is to make lots of money, but we're going to do it in a Christian way. Well, there's nothing wrong with making lots of money. But there is a problem with pursuing it.
Yes, yes.
If we took a teaspoon or a tablespoon as poison, what if we mix that in there. Would that make it non-poisonous? No, you would still get the poison. You just wouldn't taste it so much.
Yeah.
You go mixing the world in, you're still getting the poison. It's just you don't realize it as much. So if you come out from among them and you're separate, only to copy their attitude, their mindset or their pursuit, you can expect to spend eternity with them.
Right.
You have to follow Christ all the way, no matter what the cost is. So will you receive the blessing, or will you receive a curse? Make things right with God today so you can receive a blessing. Let's go to Luke chapter 21. Getting close to done here. Verse 24, we're going to kind of break in the middle there. And they shall fall by the edge of the sword, and shall be led away captive into all nations, and Jerusalem shall be trodden down of the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles be fulfilled. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth, distress of nations with perplexities. Sounds like the day we live in. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. And then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And he spake unto them a parable, Behold the fig tree and all the trees. When they now shoot forth, ye see and know of your own selves that summer is now nigh at hand. So likewise, ye, when ye see these things come to pass, know ye that the kingdom of God is nigh at hand. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass away till all be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. And take heed to yourselves, lest at any time your hearts be overcharged with surfeiting and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and so that day come upon you unawares. For as a snare shall it come on all them that dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch ye therefore and pray always, that ye may be accounted worthy to escape all these things that shall come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. It says, lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. And then it says, as a snare shall catch all men. Which is it going to be for you? Are you going to be one of the ones crying for the rocks and the mountains to hide you? Or are you going to be one of the ones in the multitude saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth? First Peter 4:7 says, But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober and watch unto prayer. 1 Thessalonians 5:6 says, Therefore let us not sleep, as do others, but let us watch and be sober. In God's children, this produces a sober-minded seriousness. There may be times they laugh or smile, but they understand that life is not a game. Life is a journey and there is a destination. Deuteronomy 11:26, remember that, Behold, I set before you this day a blessing and a curse. A blessing if ye obey the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you this day. And a curse if you will not obey the commandments of the Lord your God, but turn aside out of the way which I command you this day. Will you receive the blessing, or will you receive the curse? Depends what fountain you're drinking from.
Amen. Good.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Philip.